for all your friends and family. Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood is now serving weekly dinner specials like fried chicken on Wednesdays, Alaskan halibut Fridays, prime rib Saturday, and barbecue ribs on Sunday. Tell your friends and family to meet you at the new local favorite, the Spirit of Paso Robles restaurant located in the River Oaks neighborhood, right in the middle of the golf course.
Nothing says comfort like genuine sheepskin slippers and boots, and Tack and Shoes has a great selection. Brands like Emu Australia, Superlamb, Bearpaw, and more. Soft, cozy, and perfect for chilly days. Tackens also has a great selection of work boots and casual shoes. So visit Tack and Shoes today at 8th and Spring in Paso, 668 Marsh in San Luis, or shop anytime at 805boots.com. Tack and Shoes, family owned and operated since 1937.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohenkron.
At the Winter Olympics, the U.S. women's hockey team has just taken a 1-0 lead over Switzerland midway through the first period.
Puck out in front, score! The United States strikes first. It's Haley Wynn.
Kenny Albert with a call on USA Network. The Americans already 2-0 in Olympic competition. The U.S. curling mixed doubles duo of Corey with a K Dropkin and Corey with a C TC defeated Italy today 9-8 to advance to the gold medal match against Sweden. In the NFL, the Los Angeles Chargers are hiring former Dolphins and Jets head coach Adam Gase as an offensive assistant. While in Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox today acquired third baseman Caleb Durbin in a six-player trade with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, California farmers who grow fruit for canned products suffered a major setback this month as Del Monte announced plans to close its only remaining cannery in the state. The cannery's closure will reportedly affect roughly 600 employees and 1,200 seasonal workers in Modesto. The closure ends Del Monte's more than 100-year history as a processor of California-grown fruits and vegetables, potentially leaving scores of farmers without a buyer for their produce. Well, President Trump says the U.S. will cut tariffs on Indian goods to 18% after India agreed to stop purchasing Russian crude oil, a major new trade and energy deal between the two countries. Trump says India also committed to reducing its tariffs and non-tariff barriers on U.S. products to zero and to buying more than $500 billion worth of American products, including agricultural goods. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi confirmed the agreement. And USDA says it will release glow-in-the-dark sterile flies along the U.S.-Mexico border to prevent the New World screwworm from spreading north and threatening American livestock. The flesh-eating parasite has recently been detected in northern Mexico, prompting renewed concern among cattle producers and animal health officials. USDA officials say the sterile insect technique, which was used successfully to eradicate the pest from the U.S. decades ago, disrupts reproduction and limits population growth.
Increasing your almond yield can seem like a tough nut to crack, but it doesn't have to be. Protect your crop with Marivon fungicide at Bloom for added resiliency against frost, long-lasting broad-spectrum disease control, and proven yield results. See? That wasn't tough at all. Marivon fungicide. Number one at Bloom for all the right reasons. Always read and follow label directions.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
With your Agribusiness Update, I'm Bob Larson.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading, with tech shares higher and boosting the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Big tech stocks are mixed following a brutal week for the sector that saw more than $1 trillion wiped from their market caps. And gold is shining again and trading around $5,000 a troy ounce as dip buyers return to the market after a volatile week for precious metals. And shares of Oracle are jumping 10% following an upgrade from D.A. Davidson due to optimism about the enterprise software developer's OpenAI deal. And analysts are also pushing back against fears that AI will hurt its software business. And shares of Hims & Hers are plunging 24% after Novo Nordisk said it had filed a lawsuit to ban the telehealth provider from offering knockoff versions of Novo's Ozempic and Wegovy weight loss pills. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive Commercial presents Heroes That Keep Truckers Going. Today's hero, the vending machine restocker who gave you a free energy drink. Was it out of the kindness of her heart, or was it just one less can she had to stock? Either way, thanks, hero. What else can keep truckers going? Progressive Truck Insurance with primary liability limits up to $2 million. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to terms and limits.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Young students from the countries of Western Europe are risking imprisonment in the Soviet Gulag for the cause of human rights. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Recently, National Review magazine presented an article by Lennart Frenzel that revealed how much idealism there is in the world and exposed how much hypocrisy there is behind the Iron Curtain. The author gives an accounting of young students and others from France, Belgium, Norway, Finland, and other countries of Western Europe who journey to Russia as tourists. These particular tourists, however, aren't interested in sightseeing. They smuggle in books and leaflets, which they then openly hand to Russians on the streets. These are books the Russians are forbidden to read, such as the writings of Solzhenitsyn. Invariably, the book-distributing tourists are arrested. One young Belgian girl handing out lists of political prisoners' names was seized by KGB agents so quickly she could only throw the leaflets in the air before she was arrested. Now, the Soviet Constitution guarantees freedom of speech, but like the Helsinki Pact, the Russian government doesn't feel obliged to observe it. Nevertheless, Soviet officialdom is taking its lumps and is very uncomfortable in the face of these tourists who argue back with full knowledge of their legal rights and the terms of the Helsinki Pact. Listen to this exchange between a 22-year-old French girl and the two KGB officers who arrested her. The question, end quote, "Are you a member of a political party?" "Yes." "What does your father do?" "He's a politician." "Does he have a high position?" "High enough." "Does your father know of your trip to the USSR?" "Yes, of course." "Well, both you and he know that it's forbidden to bring books into the USSR." "Really? But why? To our country, for example, one can bring in any books. In our country, people have the right to read anything." "Well, this isn't Belgium, but the USSR." "Well, how does the USSR differ from Belgium?" "We want our nation to think according to our ideology." "You are really naive people. Do you really believe that 250 million people will think the way you want them to think?" Unquote. The KGB agents didn't have an answer to that one. All they could say was, "It is forbidden to bring in books. You may get 10 years for it." To which she replied, "I know. We already packed some things in case we would have to go to camp." The smugglers have the help of the Russian emigre organization and contacts in the Soviet Union who helped pass the literature along. Leaflets have appeared in cities and towns far distant from Moscow, and books are regularly circulated among dissident intellectuals in Moscow. A Mr. Sokolov, a member of the section in charge of the confiscated books, was arrested a couple of years ago for selling those books to black market dealers. He hasn't been heard from since, but the smuggling goes on, and significantly the Russian people show a great eagerness to get their hands on the forbidden literature. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call
423-4033. When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon in studio. I'm Kevin Will with our special guest, Mr. Fred Bruin from Remax Parkside Realty. Fred, you've been doing this for a little bit, I believe 1987.
That's correct. I took my test and got licensed in 1987, October.
Now, what was it, you know, you started out in the, I guess, for lack of a better word, the corporate world. What was the decision to, switch over?
Well, I was tired of punching a clock, number one. I believe I was getting the feeling that I had reached a ceiling as far as advancement in that corporation. I was not happy living in chaotic, dirty Southern California.
Even then?
Yeah, even then. It was getting bad. You know, you could see it coming. I grew up in a quiet bedroom community, Whittier. East LA was just getting closer and closer, and kind of a whim when I came to visit the Central Coast region and took a look around at some properties. I ended up buying a house on that first visit, so here I am.
So you came up to the Central Coast, and you must have thought that you were out in the boondocks. I mean, we're going back to the late 80s.
Yeah, it was cowboy. It was a whole different from what I was used to, that's for sure.
Well, that's quite a gutsy thing to do.
It was very impetuous, that's for sure. I had two homes in Palm Springs and escrow. I was going to move to Palm Springs, and when I took one tour around the countryside here, I fell in love and I bought a house. Moved in 2 weeks later.
Well, no regrets. And again, we one of the things that people should know is that since Fred's been here these many years, he has done a lot, and I don't want to embarrass you. You've done a lot of things for the community, though, with different groups and organizations. You've given back.
Yeah, probably our main project at RE/MAX Parkside Real Estate. This is our 25th year in August. We're going to have our Up With Kids back to school shopping spree, where we take 150 kids through Target. We give them a $150 voucher to buy school clothes, give them a brand new backpack full of school supplies, and send them off to the first week of school feeling good.
Yeah. Well, good for you folks doing that and your contribution as well to other organizations here in the North County. So let's get down to some nuts and bolts today about an important purchase that we make in our lifetime. It's your home, the real estate. So how is the market here, particularly in the North County, looking?
The market in North County is I would call it, over the last 3 years, pretty stagnant, but we're showing signs of reviving. And I could share some numbers with you real quickly. This is North County Residential Properties. I pulled my annual numbers about the second weekend of January. And 2025, when you compare it to 2024, nothing to really write home about. The numbers were, the number of sales were up 3%. And the median price was absolutely flat. It didn't change at all. That's a good news for buyers. But not so great for sellers.
Well, but for the sellers, it may depend also, too, wouldn't it, on how long they've had their home and how much equity they've had to it. And, you know, if they bought their home 30 years ago for $129,000 and now they're selling it for whatever, that's still not bad.
That's right. Yeah, there's the real estate market in general, and this is nationwide and here on the Central Coast, here in the North County, the equity position of residential real estate is the best it's ever been. So we're not going to see a boom in foreclosures because people have equity, and if they stumble and need to do something, they still can sell their house and put some money in their bank account and start again. The number of market days or days on market for those sold properties went from 14 days to 22 days, so there's a little bit of softening there. No price increase, median price increase, and then the number of market days was increasing slightly. So I hear, and I do the fourth, I also do the fourth quarter numbers. When I compare fourth quarter 25 to the fourth quarter of 24, we see, again, nothing really to write home about. 2.13% increase in the sales, and a 0.32 increase in price. But in the fourth quarter, days on market went from 15 to 26. So again, we can see a little bit of softening there. But then I'm hearing all over the news and the stuff I read December was a great December. It's one of the best Decembers we've had, and it's a good sign for what's coming. So, you know, I quit doing the monthly numbers a long time ago because it's just too much. So I thought, well, I'll go back and take a look at this. So I looked at December versus December of 2024. The number of sales up 52% here in the North County. 88 homes sold in December. That's huge. And the median sale price, not much of a change, less than a percent, up one, I'll just call it up 0.75 points. Market time went from 22 days in December of 24 to 24 days in December of 25. So I thought, well, you know what? That is showing a little bit of life there. So, you know, maybe somebody took the paddles to December.
Is I know of a few people, and I'm going back probably during the COVID years, where they had their house for sale and they were able to get in competitive bids with buyers willing to pay more for the home. In other words, it was on the market for X amount, and some people, they wanted to get out from wherever they were and so forth, said, no, I'll pay more. Do we see much of that anymore?
No, we don't. A properly priced home, or let's say a very competitively priced home, when it hits the market, will get lots of looks, and there's probably a good probability of getting one or two offers. When I say it's extremely competitively priced, but the COVID, we call those the unicorn years. It was like the perfect storm, and it really hit us by total surprise. We figured that this shutdown is going to just shut down the market, but it did the complete opposite. People living in San Jose and commuting 2 hours a day to get to work and back, and then they're all of a sudden told they cannot go to work, they have to work from home, and they're doing it, and they're thinking, why the hell am I living in this pit with crime and homelessness and congestion and density and all that, when I could live on the Central Coast and do this from there? Mm-hmm. And we've always had that, and I think our region is protected a little bit better in the industry in general because it's such a desirable place to live. But then this COVID thing hit, and it exploded, and that's what drove the market. And we won't see that again. We call that the unicorn years. I mean, they were artificially low interest rates, and this desire to live in a beautiful place and the ability to work remotely.
Since you've been in it up here since 1987, so you've seen, off the top of my head anyway, two or three, maybe some rough areas that we have eventually...
The ups and downs of real estate, absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
So it's like the stock market a little bit, that eventually it's more than likely going to come back.
Yep. It always has since I've been doing it.
Yeah. When you've seen this trend, are they for the same reasons? Either way, that things get a little rough and then they come back? Is it political, or is it just the nature of the beast?
I think it's just the nature of the beast. But obviously, political situations and worldwide stuff has effect on the market. But the basics are people want to own a home, build their own home, be a part of the community through ownership. Yeah.
Is there a difference dealing with a client who is, I'll just say, maybe born and raised in this general area? They have an idea of what's around, as opposed to somebody coming from San Jose or wherever, you know, completely different lifestyle and so forth. Do you have to be a little bit more educational with them, or do you get more questions?
I would say that early in my career, yes, I would give the Vanna White tour and, you know, explain to them everything. And I experienced it firsthand. I went through culture shock moving up from Los Angeles County, where there was millions in population, to Paso Robles. It was 16,000. And they rolled up the sidewalks at sundown. So I went through culture shock. Took me a couple years to figure it out. And yes, early on, that's very true. But the buyers today are pretty well educated via the internet and previous visits and the exposure that the Central Coast is getting nationwide, worldwide.
You know, you mentioned the internet, and I'm just wondering if this is regional, or was it a trend, or is it still a trend? Because I've known this personally, where people would go on the internet and, you know, do the tour of the house, and they'd make an offer. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know what? It's one thing to see it on the internet, kind of gives you, you know, a head start, but to make that commitment without seeing it physically, that just seemed a little odd.
I think it's odd, too. And when I have a representing a seller and we get an offer like that, I explain to them, we cannot accept this offer until the buyer has physically visited the property, or they have a very short period to come and visit the property.
Is that state law, or recommendation?
That's just my recommendation. You're right. I mean, they could look at this beautiful home on the internet, but right next door could be the 7-Eleven. I mean, you don't know. You got to come and check it out.
Are things such as questions that you may get from potential buyers? It used to be, and I don't know if it was an old wives' tale or something that, but the schools were important to the buyers.
Yes, they still are a serious consideration, yes.
Okay. But again, from your experience and over the years, I'm just wondering from a legality standpoint, as you know, a real estate agent in California, how much can you reveal to the either or, the buyer or the seller?
About the quality of the schools?
Yeah.
We just give them web addresses of places to go to look for themselves.
Okay, so they have to do the homework.
We try to give them the information where they can find it, and they got to do their own inspection investigations. Yeah.
Since you started, has it the demands on what you are required to do, have they increased quite a bit?
Well, the disclosure situation gets more and more complex every year, that's true. Nothing that we can't handle. I can remember many years ago when the big real estate transfer disclosure statement became a requirement by the state of California. We thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be impossible. It's going to blow deals apart. But, you know, after working with it for 12, 18 months, and we figure it out and everything's fine. It's good consumer protection.
What are some of the mistakes that either or, you know, is somewhat of a common mistake with a seller or a buyer regarding their home?
On the seller side, failure to disclose. On the buyer side, it's the failure to investigate. And when I say investigate, it could be you got to do a home inspection. I don't care if it's a brand new home. You still got to do a home inspection. You should get a pest inspection. Based on those reports, you might want to go further, like with a roof inspector, a foundation inspector. You may want to check how are the school districts. You may want to go down to the police department, ask about the crime in a neighborhood. Those kinds of things. Buyers need to do that.
I thought the inspections were required for somebody to get a loan. The banks say,
hey. Not necessarily, no. VA loans, yes, you got to have a pest inspection, and in most situations, the seller has to make the repairs. But no, conventional loan, no. And there's a caveat, if the appraiser goes in and he sees some blatant health and safety issue, they'll write it up in the appraisal, and then the lender could request some kind of a report or repair.
All right, well, you hear the music, folks. We talk with Fred Barone from RE/MAX Parkside here in Paso Robles. We'll be right back.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Kevin Will with Fred Bruin from Parkside Real Estate. Fred, when you're talking about the numbers here in North County, and you know, you kind of alluded to the fact that the Central Coast is, because of our geography, I guess, is that we're somewhat protected, and Paso Robles still has been able to do extremely well because of where we are positioned on the Central Coast, because in today's terms, we're still affordable.
Yeah, if we were to compare the
Central Coast, Pismo or Shell Beach or something like that.
Yeah, you compare the Central Coast region, and that's what you're right. You know, like our little Central Coast, when you compare it to places like the Bay Area, Carmel, north of Bay Area, we're still, and San Ynez, we're still a pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us attractive. The region with the good schools, clean environment, beautiful geography, topography, it's a desirable low crime. People want to live here. So we're somewhat protected from a serious downfall in the market.
How about the demographics? You've seen them change. Have they been dramatic over the years? We know that there is a little bit, but I'm sure most of us don't remember what were the demographics age-wise in this county in 87 till now.
Yeah, I would think in my amateurish type outlook, or the it's probably gotten a little bit older. The population here in the North County, maybe a little less conservative. After 36, 37 years, it hasn't been a significant change as far as I can see from sitting in the real estate seat.
And before we came on air, you were talking to my office that you were going to bring this up regarding that, what you have to tell buyers buying a home if something happened on the property or inside the home.
A disclosure, if there had been a death or a suicide on the property, the answer is yes. The state of California says if it happened within the most recent 3 years, you have to disclose it. My advice to any seller who is selling a property is you make the disclosure no matter what. When a seller asks me, do I need to disclose this, whatever it is, do I need to disclose this? The answer is always yes.
Do they legally have to disclose that?
If it was within 3 years and a death on the property, yes.
Well, I'm just wondering, suppose they just don't even tell you. And I mean, we're hoping on their good faith that they're going to do this, but then somebody buys the house and they find out from the neighbors that, hey, did you know that such and such thing happened here? Right. What kind of ramifications are there?
That buyer then could go back to the seller and sue for damages. I don't know what that could be, you know, but maybe they want to rescind the purchase. Who knows? But that leaves the seller liable.
All right. Well,
vulnerable.
Excuse me?
Vulnerable.
Yeah. It's and again, when you're talking about the house and the biggest purchase that we make in our lives from, and one, you know, moves from both sides, all the information needs to come out, good or bad.
Right. One of the newest developments is that if we have, let's say, you bought your home 15 years ago and you did your due diligence and you have a home inspection, a roof inspection, a pest inspection, all that good stuff. And the new buyer comes in, then you decide to sell it, and the buyer comes in and they do theirs, their home inspection, pest inspection. If you still have copies of those previous reports, we are required to give them to the new buyer. That has complicated a transaction, let me tell you.
I would imagine.
So, you know, we're required to hold on to our records for 10 years. And if we had helped you with that 10 years ago, and we still had copies of that, and we didn't turn those over, we would be liable as a broker for not disclosing all the information, as well as the seller. So when it comes time is up for our retention of records, they go to the shredder.
Bet you run to the shredder. Do that. Well, that's obviously all of you folks that you bought a house, there's a lot of paperwork. And if you bought it 20 or 30 years ago, there was a lot of paperwork, but I'm a lot more now.
They're always adding. They're not taking away.
We laugh at it, and, you know, none of us like paperwork and so forth. But again, through your experience, has this been good? You know, better for both the buyer and the seller with more...
Overall, yes. Absolutely, yes. It's all in the intent for consumer protection. And we're all for consumer protection. We want people to know what they're buying and feel comfortable with it. And the same on the selling side.
Okay. All right. We're winding it down here. So for both the buyer and seller, what is the... I mean, there are circumstances, particularly for perhaps sellers, life changes and things like that. But what is some of your sage advice on either side when they're thinking about, you know, making a decision on buying or selling?
Okay, if a seller has made the decision to sell, they need to seriously start thinking about their home no longer as their home. Now it's a house, and it's a business transaction. And they need to, probably the most important thing, as we've been talking about, is make complete disclosure. On the buying side, the buyer absolutely, positively has to do their due diligence. It's built into the contract. Do their inspections and investigations and make sure they know what they're buying and do it within their due diligence period. So if they discover something that's not acceptable, they can either get it rectified or can withdraw the offer.
Don't buy the first house you look at.
No, I won't say that.
Well, it's like some people, they go in, they see the beautiful car, and they buy it, and then they go, oh, man. that's funny. Well, Fred, thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. They can reach me at my cell number, which, you know, my answer machine will answer if I don't, 805-235-4681, or my email address. It's fred@fredbruin.com.
And they can, so they, even if with numbers on the air, they can find you through Remax.
Oh, yeah. Hit Google with Fred Bruin.
Okay.
It'll find me.
All right, Fred, thank you so much for coming in with the numbers and your knowledge and experience.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome. Susanna's coming up next. Thank you for listening.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.